You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 23 July. We've got Alphabet and Tesla results due today. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Chantal Marks, F&B Wealth and Investments, South 32. And if we have a moment, Mr. Price. Meryl Pick from Old Mutual Investment Group, Sasol. That was a good update, I got to say. And Richard Carter from Allen Gray. We're all good to go for the multi-part pension system. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Why do companies delist from the JSE? Really good analyst of an analyst of the costs of being listed. Business Day, Amplat targets London listing in search of liquidity. Aim is to deepen liquidity of group as it prepares for split from parent. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 1.1% and NASDAQ 1.5% higher. Over in the east, it is mixed. Sydney is up 0.1%, Tokyo up 0.5%, Hong Kong down 0.1%, and Tencent 0.75% lower. Commodities, red. Gold, 2,447. Brent, 82.42. Platinum, 961. Palladium, 899. Rand is 18.25. Bitcoin, 67,600. Top 40 opening call, 70 points or 0.1% to the downside.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research, F&B Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning time. Updates coming thick and fast. South 32, which, I mean, I struggled to work out whether it was a bad update or if it was just that Worsley Illumina news that spooked markets. Your take on what they were saying? Because certainly they mine interesting commodities.
Yes, I was just about to say, I mean, they mine stuff that no one else, none of the big listed miners mine. So that's what makes them really compelling and a fabulous diversifier in any portfolio. But I think what happened with the update, the production update was in line with expectations. There really were no surprises. But they have this expansion that they're undertaking at Worsley, and they have run into an issue with the regulator. And I think one of the things that this highlights is that regulatory risk in mining remains a big constraint because they've now sunk a lot of cost into this development. That asset has high value, but if they can't actually continue with the project, then they have to write it down. And now they've actually decided to take that step, which means that they think that there's a high likelihood that they won't be able to proceed. And I think for South 32 in particular, they've got a massive project in North America called Hermosa, and they are going to sink a lot of capital in developing that project. And if they're going to have delays in Australia, it's a high risk for them that they could also have issues in the U.S.
I take your point, and particularly regulatory risk in mining. We always think that's a South African phenomenon, but it's a global phenomenon. I mean, we saw it with Afrimat, who couldn't do the one deal because they couldn't get a water license. But the world over, Regulators, particularly on the environmental side, are saying, hang on a second, and this is only going to get bigger as time goes on.
Yes, because I think that the environmental focus is, it's gone from mostly kind of lip service, ESG tick box exercises to, listen, you have to be really aware of the environment in which you are operating and taking care of the environment in which you're operating, because we are living in a time where water is a scarce resource. It's probably going to become scarcer. The earth is getting hotter. I think that authorities are really starting to take note of that. And it's not only in South Africa. We're not trying to be difficult yet. I think it's all over the world where this is coming into focus.
Yeah, we're trying to look after our planet, which is a fair shout. Quick thoughts on Mr. Price. It was a 13 weeks, call that a quarter to end June. What do they call it? Market share gains, which they say is on a 12-month rolling basis, now 1.1 billion. Not a bad update. June particularly strong. Post-election, winter finally arrived. Consumers are out there and spending a bit.
Yes, I really like this update because momentum is positive. So positive momentum for a company like Mr. Price is absolutely huge. It means that their fashionability probably also landed. They're competing effectively with Shein and Temu and places like that because people are actually getting into store. They're buying the product. It means that their fashion calls were correct. They're selling more full priced items. That's really, really positive from a gross margin perspective. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, that momentum. So June already quite strong. I suspect July is also going to be pretty decent. And now you have the prospect of consumer confidence improving as interest rates come down, inflation comes down. There's no more political uncertainty, or at least near term, no more political uncertainty, and the potential for an acceleration in economic growth. And an interesting thing that they explicitly mentioned is Tupac retirement. So they are waiting for people to withdraw their pension savings and start shopping. So perhaps the trade at the moment is to exit your asset management and financial services exposure and getting involved in the retailers.
Yeah, I've seen reports, a couple of them, that the Tupac could see 40 billion rand pulled out from asset managers and ultimately being spent. And of course, some rate cuts would certainly add to that as well. We'll leave it there. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning.
If seagulls were hardy-dars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting with Meryl Peck, Old Mutual Investment Group, Head of Equity Research. Meryl, appreciate the time today. The much-anticipated Sasol production update, a lot of moving parts. So I'm going to start with a broad question. For you, what was the top sort of highlight or perhaps lowlight from the update?
Yes, thanks, Simon. As shareholders of Sasol, we have become a bit trained to anticipate updates with a bit of trepidation, unfortunately. And I think one of the highlights for this quarterly update is that majority of the numbers actually point up, whether you're talking about pricing or volumes. At its core, the fuel business in South Africa, as we know, is about turning mining coal cheaply and turning that into fuel. And over the years, Sasol has, I suppose, taken the eye off the ball of that basic step, the mining step in particular. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to see that mining productivity this quarter continues to tick up. You know, I think if you look at the averages for the year, they are a bit misleading. So the 2024 average for the full year versus 2023 on something like mining productivity looks a bit flat. But at the fourth quarter, it's particularly strong, getting back to that 1,000 centimeter tons per centimeter per shift metric, which they are ultimately targeting to resume 1,200. But for us, this is a sign of healthy progress.
I take your point on that. When I was looking at them, there was a sense that if we broke this into quarters rather than half years, it does seem that the quarter on quarters are improving, which bodes well for the future.
Absolutely. It's had a strong price reaction to this, perhaps just because no downward surprises, so the market can breathe a sigh of relief there. But, if you extrapolate the fourth quarter trends, then perhaps at the margin there's room to upgrade expectations. Of course, this is only half the story. We haven't seen the cost yet, but we've certainly seen volumes incrementally ticking up. And 2 years ago in 2022, management at the time had said, okay, we've implemented full co-mining at the coal operations. This has led to a spike in safety-related issues, fatalities. So first of all, we need to go back to protecting our employees and implement a safety program, which will take 2 years. I went back to my notes and it's now 2 years, so it's positive. Yeah. It's positive that we actually are seeing a quarter with no fatalities. And that coincides with better productivity, because at the end of the day, Safety is a morale, a moral, and a productivity issue.
Yeah, yeah. Chemical business still struggling, and this is a global phenomenon. We're seeing it out of the global oil majors at the same time. Chemical prices are under pressure, and I mean, there's nothing Sasol can do. They're a price taker in this space. Beyond the being a price taker, is that business looking solid?
Absolutely, a price taker, commoditized business. We know that they sold half of the base chemical operation in the US, mm-hmm. precisely because that is probably the most commoditized end of the spectrum. And, you know, they are positioned perhaps slightly more in some of the premium chemicals. But at the end of the day, these are all commodities, and their best shot is to produce maximum volumes. So, you know, in regions like Europe, we are seeing that they actually are producing lower volumes purely to not add to the oversupply. So clearly that market's still quite sick. However, again, I think looking at averages even here is deceiving, because on average prices are down for versus last year over most of the chemical buckets. But this quarter, marginally up, you know, so have we potentially reached that turning point? Certainly when you look at the group level pricing, it is inching up since quarter one, 2024. We have seen the bottom, but this is really a factor of global GDP.
Yeah, 100% on that. And I take your point. Perhaps we've seen a bottom, but I'm certainly not brave enough to call that. The one thing that did stand out for me, you've mentioned, Cole, that talk around export sales volumes up, improved operations. But the line that stood out for me, improved performance for Transnet Freight Rail, which not only gladdens the heart of Sasol, it gladdens the heart of a mining industry and an entire investment community.
Absolutely. So that line is kind of, you know, not in the headline, but it certainly did jump out at me, because it's got spillover benefits outside of Transnet. We think even last year they didn't benefit from, you know, potentially all the chemicals exports that they could, and then companies like Exxaro didn't benefit from all the coal exports. So early signs of debottlenecking coming through there. That is definitely positive. And the other highlight was actually bringing on gas production from the PSA initial gas facility early. Again, we are usually accustomed to, we are generally accustomed to announcements about delays and downgrades, unfortunately. So it's, I think the theme for me from this overall result was just a sense of stabilizing, you know, with the things that management can control being operations. They cannot control the oil price, gas, or chemicals prices. They can control the stability of their operations, predictability of operations, and therefore cost, and they can control their balance sheet. So it's good to at least see one half of that equation heading in the right direction.
Yeah, 100% take your point on that. As a miner, control what you can. And that was certainly my sense from it as well. What they can do, they are doing. And that's what we expect from them. As we said, they are price takers. We'll leave it there. It's Merrill Pick, Head of Equity Research, Old Mutual Investment Group. Always appreciate the time.
And that's our poll today. Sasol, are you bullish? I know in the Twitters, people have been bullish for ever and a day, but that was a good update. I mean, the market liked it. And certainly, as we said in the interview, what they can manage, they are managing. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
There's no postponing the inevitable. Your money knew this day would come. And you know what? It can hardly wait to start giving some back to you. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Richard Carter, Head Assurance at Allan Gray. Richard, appreciate the time. We've finally got the final piece of the two-pot law signed. We are good to go 1st of September, and it's been a very long journey, but it does look like a good outcome and ready to rock and roll in essence. Richard, can you hear me there? We seem to have lost Richard. We're not sure what happened there. He was on the line a moment ago. There are a couple of things, and I want to ask Richard about it, but we're going to run short on time. The one is, remember, if you draw from two-pot systems, you will be taxed accordingly. It's simply, you take out your 30,000, which is the max that you could, it goes straight into your income. And if you're at the, let's say, I don't know, average tax bracket of 25%, you're going to pay a quarter of that, or 25% of that 30,000 will be going to tax. So SARS will get their slice. There's also going to be fees from the Reg 28 managers that they will charge. Although, from what I've heard, that fee is going to be fairly modest and not too bad. Perhaps a couple of hundred rand. Richard Carter, Head Assurance at Allan Gray. I think we've now got you on the line. As I was saying there, we've got the final piece of the two-part system signed into law. Been a long process, but we're good to go. And I have to say, I think a better looking retirement system for investors.
Absolutely, Simon, and thanks for having me on. Yes, we're really glad that this final piece has been signed in. It takes away some of the uncertainty. And yes, on the whole, an improvement to the retirement system.
Well, is the key message to investors going to really be, don't draw the money unless you absolutely need to? Don't use this as a slush fund. Use it as a proper emergency fund.
That's very well put. I would add one more thing to that. So yes, you know, don't touch it unless you really have to. And the other thing is that if you don't take anything, you don't lose anything. There's no use it or lose it. You know, once the money's available, if you just leave it there, it stays there. It stays available. It keeps growing. There is never any pressure to take something out just in case I can't get it tomorrow. And in fact, the only reason is that the moment you take something, the rest is then locked up for the rest of that tax year. So I would, you know, just almost, it's a reassuring thing to say, look, if you don't need the money, you don't actually have to do anything. There's nothing you need to do. You can just leave it alone and not touch it. Of course, some people will have to, right? Because, you know, life happens and emergencies come along. And so then in that situation, the thing I would say to investors is, remember, there's no such thing as a free lunch. If you take the money out, you're going to need to compensate. Otherwise, one day when you do get to retirement, there's going to be a bigger hole caused by what you've taken out. So either you need to put more in or save more somewhere else. But you can't just keep withdrawing money and expect somehow to still have the same outcome at the end.
That's a great point. I like that. You don't have to. You don't lose it if you don't use it. But you make a great point there. If you take money out, you really are taking money out of your future retirement. I mean, let's be quite clear around that. This isn't sort of free money falling from the heavens. This is your retirement you're taking money from.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well said, yeah.
We'll leave it there. That's Richard Carter, Head Assurance at Allan Gray. Appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. We're chatting with Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth, yesterday about the Reinet investment update and about a 40% discount to NAV. They've got the pension business and the British American Tobacco, most of that NAV. They've been selling down the British American Tobacco. We asked if this discount offers opportunity. Almost half of you said the problem is the discount never closes. And that's a fair shout. They might narrow, but as Nick said, look at all the effort that Prosus NASPAS have done, and they've narrowed it, but not by a heck of a lot. Over a third said, yes, great assets. The rest said, you simply don't like British American Tobacco. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Norbuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please just leave us a positive rating and review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again tomorrow. Peregrine Capital, semi-annual investor letter.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.